Welcome to the nara.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen, and we are recording live at Triple U Studios in Nara CBD. What is the nara.org.au podcast? It is a series and collection of stories of the people and characters who make up the fabric of this town of Nara. Today's guest is Ori Pohonen. Ori is the founder and creative director of Webix, a Nara-based digital agency established in 2008. What started as a one-man web design business has grown into a full-service digital and IT company, working with hundreds of local and national clients across website, design, hosting, SEO, Microsoft 365, Google Workspace, and business IT support. Ori is passionate about helping regional businesses compete at a national level and about strengthening the local business community. The business has been recognized through multiple industry awards for its performance and innovation, reflecting a commitment to quality and outcomes. And he recently opened up a prominent location on Junction Street, Nara, which we'll chat about later. Welcome, Ori.
Thank you for having me, Baron.
Of course, it's great to see you here. So, Ori, we start this podcast out with the same question for every single person. What's the most underrated thing about Nara that people always get wrong?
I think for location. Like, there's so much to do down, like, and around Nara. Like, pretty much, not recently, because I've been a bit too busy, but in the first 7 years of my business being in the CBD, like, lunchtime walks up to the showground, Ben's walk, it's all in walking distance. Like, people just think it's Nara, but, like, it's literally just a five-minute walk and you're on the river. So, yeah, the river's really underrated when it comes to Nara, I reckon.
And actually, Ori, you have been known to be a bit of a walker around town. I've seen you walking the streets of Nara a lot. Walking is, I know it's a thing you like to do, but, what's your favourite walk in Nara?
Yeah, so I aim to get in 10,000 steps per day.
Yep.
So either if that's from the walking pad under my desk in the office, walking on that, or just if it's a nice day, getting outside in the sunshine and just heading straight up to the showgrounds. And if it's not too wet, doing Ben's walk, otherwise just looping down past the river and straight back into town. It's a scenic walk. You get to see the mountains, the river. It's just a really nice walk.
Wait, what's the walking pad under your desk? Tell us this.
Walking pad. So it's like a treadmill, but it's a low profile version with no bars or anything. It can fold in half. And you slide it under your desk, and we've got stand-up desks in our office. So you make the desk come up, and you just jump on it and start walking and typing while you work.
That's brilliant. Oh, we need one here at the studio.
Multitasking.
So tell me, what's your earliest memory of this town, or how did you end up in Nara?
I was born in Shivan Hospital. I don't remember that, but going back, earliest memories... Probably, being involved with the theatre. I used to be heavily involved with Nara Players. So always was coming into town for drama classes and various plays that I was involved in. In terms of school, I went to St. John's in town, so used to come in on the bus every morning for school as well.
Wow, I've had quite a few guests on this podcast, and I don't think anyone's mentioned they've been born at Shoalhaven Hospital yet. So that's pretty legit. What about, how did your family end up here?
So they're both from overseas. My dad was born in Sweden and has Finnish ancestry, and my mum was born in England, and they both came over when they were children, migrated over here. And my grandparents just fell in love with the area and decided to stay. And that's how they met. They met at the Marlin down in Ulladulla. And the rest is history.
Wow. Shout out to the Marlin in Ulladulla, our sister city, Ulladulla. That's cool. Nice to have you here. So in terms of Nara, what have you noticed has changed over your lifetime of living here?
Just the quality of the buildings and facilities around, if you look back a few decades ago, we had dirt roads like around the substreets in the Shoalhaven, and just seeing like that all developed, and we're starting to get multi-story buildings come up, and we're really starting to turn into the next Wollongong, really. So that's why I've decided to stay here and invest, because I can see the potential it has and what the area is going to grow into in the not too distant future.
Yeah, and I think it's really exciting for us at this nara.org.au project is because we want to promote more businesses to, you know, popping up in the CBD, and you're one of those who's kind of said, hey, I believe in this town, and you've taken a stake on Junction Street, which is quite exciting. And it's also, you know, part of our project is we want to bring more livelihood to the CBD and bring more people in, and so having businesses like yours there is important for that. So yeah, what was the decision to take up that?
Well, I've been looking for a commercial place for a couple of years now, and it just happened to be the first thing that came up that wasn't overly expensive and was the right size for us, and it did need a lot of work. It was a bit more work than anticipated, but yeah, just not being able to, like, just being locked in and, like, not having to deal with landlords, and it's our space to do what we want with. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's talk about WebX. Take us back to 2008. How did it get started, and what's been your journey of business?
So I learned about, you know, websites. They did teach you a little bit in high school back then, but I went out on my own and started researching how to make them and just saw that, okay, every business is going to need this in the future. So I learned how to make them. And then a few family friends had businesses. They didn't have websites, so I started making them. And this was the time when people, pretty much no one had a website. Everyone was using Yellow Pages to advertise their business, and everyone knew they needed one. So it was a bit of luck, really, just being born at the right time and having the skill set to transition everyone. But yeah, after making a few websites, they would tell a couple of people, oh, you know, Ori makes websites. And it just sort of started snowballing from there until we had, you know, hundreds of clients, you know, come to us and work with us to build the website and get their business online.
It's funny, when I imagine tech companies, I imagine all tech companies were started in the garage of their parents' house. Yeah. Is that WebX's story?
Yeah, yeah, at my parents' house. Yeah. I was on dial-up back then, so it was... Yeah, it taught you a lot of patience, really, because every time the phone rang, the internet would cut out. So you'd have to, if you were in the middle of something, you'd lose your work and have to start again. So that's something the generation now would have no idea about, the struggle of dial-up internet.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, and, you know, what about those early days? So you got started in business, and you say, like, I think timing is important, but you've also brought a skill set, and you've also, you learnt at an early age, and you just kind of saw the future in the making. So tell us a little bit about that, like those early days of just starting a business as a teenager.
Yeah, it was challenging, especially at school. What did I do? So I actually dropped out in year 12. So I worked out that there was certain universities that offered IT degrees without an ATAR. So as soon as I heard about that, I dropped out in year 12 and started studying a Bachelor of IT. And two subjects into that, I was questioning myself, why am I spending thousands of dollars per subject for stuff I already knew? So that's when I dropped out and started really focusing heavy on business, because, I just saw the potential there and just focused, went all in on it.
Yeah, and I guess it would have been one of those situations where what they were teaching you in uni would have been almost outdated, because it was moving so fast. It still is, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, that's, especially with AI now, like, it's literally changing like every couple of weeks. So it's not possible to write a year's curriculum and teach someone that, because by the time they, you know, start it, it's already changed. So in terms of like education facilities, they really need to focus on principles and not the technology in terms of their teachings.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's talk about that. You know, I think the tech, working in the tech business is a double-edged sword, because you've got to be on top of the next thing, and even things like security and changing and all these different things. And I'm sure there's access to information is available to everyone. So your clients can also be on top of the latest trends and things like that. But AI seems to be the most talked about thing at the moment. Can you talk us a little bit how that's kind of changing the way that you guys do business?
Yeah, we're definitely getting clients to use AI, because you can tell when they've asked AI a question, it's spat back a response, and you just tell it's an AI copy and paste. So we've gotten used to knowing like what content is AI and what's not. So when we actually build websites, we make it, convert it back to human. So like, if someone is reading it, they're not looking at it and going, okay, that's just a copy and paste from an AI agent. So so that's one thing. But it's really just sped up everything we do. So we're starting to get really into like agents and OpenClaw to like automate tasks and just take out all the manual labor and data entry, and just, you yeah, like auditing websites and keyword research and stuff like that. So just being able to like get your agent to go out and just do all that manual labor for you, just allowing us to take on more capacity and more work and get more things done in a day.
Yeah. And then in terms of like, are you also helping clients to implement that, or how's that working at the moment? Are you advising on any of that stuff?
We are consulting our clients and giving some tools that they can use. Mm. But it's not a service we've looked at rolling out just yet. Like, there's already been so many other IT companies jump on it, and we're just sticking with our core work of what we do.
Yeah. And I think like that core work, you know, coming back to how you started the business is going to be your bread and butter, right? It's like, how are you helping businesses, and how does WebEx help businesses? Can you like just share a few different ways in which you guys offer your services?
Yeah. So we started off as a web design business. That was our core service. Then we started branching out into digital marketing and then cloud IT as well.
Yeah.
So now we've got businesses come to us who, like, we've got an internal graphic designer, so they can come to us, very brand new business. They have no website, they have no logo, they have no emails, and we pretty much get them all set up. So we start off with, you know, doing their branding, getting them a logo, brand guidelines, transferring that over to a website with the same brand messaging, and then getting all their IT systems set up as well, so that all their emails are in the cloud and looking after the cybersecurity side of that, so we're protected online.
Yeah. Are there any of your clients that are like real success stories, or clients that you are really proud of have come a long way when it, like, from start to where they are now?
Yeah. Well, there's dozens of local ones that have come to us. We've literally just one person, I've grown into a massive team.
Yeah.
So yeah, just being part of the journey is always, that's so rewarding, just coming in every day and just knowing that your work is, you know, helping them employ people who are putting food on the table for their families. So it's quite rewarding work at the end of the day.
Yeah, I do enjoy it sometimes. I guess you guys have WebEx stickers often.
Yes.
People, and I'll go into like a business and I'm like, oh, they've got the WebEx sticker on the wall. And
yeah,
you know, there's something important about being local as well. You know, I think like so much of this IT stuff can be online and faceless, and you can deal with people overseas and it's cheaper or whatever, but like being able to walk into an office and have a conversation with your webmaster or the web host is so valuable. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, so we've decided to only employ local people. So we do have competitors that outsource their web development and other services overseas, but I don't agree with that. I think, you know, if you're in the Shoalhaven and you've got a local business, having local people is like part of the ingredients to having a successful business down here. And yeah, like a lot of our clients love coming into the office and sitting down with the person they're actually speaking to via email. So it's a core part of what we do.
Yeah. And I think like there's such a value in that as we move into the future, as more stuff becomes automated, as more stuff goes online, that having person-to-person contact, molecule-to-molecule exchange is going to actually be more valuable. And I think that, you know, the fact you guys taking up that space in the main street being ground level, you know, and I walked past there was the, you know, you've got a meeting room or whatever almost in the window. Like, that's a really intelligent business move for the future, I believe, is because just like, yeah, we want to go and meet people and have a cuppa with them.
That's it.
Yeah. So in terms of what are some of the challenges facing your industry and the business at the moment?
So the economy is a bit turbulent at the moment. So yeah, inflation, petrol prices. So just seeing clients just like scramble to like adapt to that, being like they're putting like fuel levies on different things for deliveries, and obviously that's affecting cash flow for clients as well. So, which is almost good for us because everyone's wanting to ramp up their marketing to cover the loss in business, because, you know, people aren't coming in the door as much, but sort of, you know, they're needing to go out there and attract the customers into their business. So that's made us pretty busy lately. And then AI, obviously, as we've mentioned before, it's just changing everything, and it's changing so quickly. So, you know, you can't just sort of do your job, go home every day and relax. You have to like do your job, go home, spend at least half an hour researching what's changing with AI and taking some notes of what you need to come back in the next day to implement to stay relevant.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty crazy to think that every day you've got to be kind of on it, and the changes that are occurring and just moving so exponentially. It's kind of crazy. Where do you think I know these podcasts are designed to be evergreen, but where like where do you think it's all going? Like, paint us a picture in like 5 years time. Like, are we all going to have our own AI agents that live in our pockets that are like our personal assistants?
Oh, 100%. So any business that isn't jumping on AI and having AI agents help run their business, they're pretty much going to be obsolete. So AI won't take your job, but any business that is using AI will replace you. So every business, if you want to stay relevant and stay in business, you do have to spend the time to learn what's happening and implement it in your business, because otherwise you're going to get out-competed by someone who is using it. They're going to be quicker at, you know, responding to their customers, delivering their product, because they do have that AI helping them in the background.
Yeah. What about, I know you've done a lot of research into this area of AI, and I'm personally interested in it, but what are some of the businesses or industries that you think will be okay, at least for the short to midterm? Like, who's going to be okay for this next AI wave?
Yeah, tradies, hospitality, things like that, they're pretty safe.
Yeah.
But most at risk is anyone who's doing a job sitting in front of the computer. That's what AI is disrupting the most. And with agents now, like, you can have the agent control your mouse and keyboard. So any sort of data entry sort of role, like, that's going to be replaced by AI. So, yeah, if anyone is in that role, start, you know, learning how to become a plumber.
All right. Yeah, we did joke that if you weren't able to come today, that we could just record this and clone your voice and then write out a transcript. And even things True. Like podcasting, I'm sure there's a lot of AI podcasts going around at the moment. Now,
yeah.
Well, right.
Yeah, especially on YouTube, like, most of the content you see is AI generated, and I can see when something's AI generated or not, but you can read the comments on YouTube and Facebook of AI content, and a lot of people think it's real already. So the future is definitely scary with that. You're going to watch something and not know if it's actually real or not. So
yeah, yeah. This is real.
Yeah.
So in terms of you've been a mentor to other people and businesses. I know you are very passionate about bringing other people businesses up with you, and very passionate about the Nowra and Shoalhaven area. What piece of advice would you give to someone who is starting a digital business in Nowra today?
Yeah, just start and just keep at it. So like the first 7 years of my business, I didn't take a wage. So by textbook definition, about, you know, if you asked a business coach or something back then, I'd probably say give up. But I just kept at it and like kept going, reinvesting back in the business. And yeah, as long like you failure like 99% of the time is like giving up too early. So just keeping at it and just like keep going until you become successful.
Yeah, that's a really good message to hear. I think that even the changing nature of the world, like, people expect things quicker.
Yeah.
And people are wanting everything to be faster. And if you're a young person starting out and the world is changing so fast, it's like a reminder that, you know, good things take time. And I think is a quote by Steve Jobs, who said that a lot of overnight success didn't happen overnight. Mm. And we see the success, like, people see you and having a successful business, but it's like they didn't see the first 7 years of not taking a check.
Yeah. Not just that, it was like 80 hours per week as well. Like, yep. I was sleeping in the office, so it was grueling. Yep. But I saw a light and just kept at it.
Yeah, I actually bumped into your real estate, one of your original real estates, and he had mentioned some scenarios where he heard that you guys had been sleeping at the office.
Yeah.
And it's what it takes, you know? It's like, it takes persistence, and it takes, you know, some grit.
Yeah.
And, you know, now the dividends are paying off, I guess, yeah.
100%.
So what was it like after 7 years taking your first paycheck?
Well, I didn't just go from zero to like a full-time salary overnight. Like, it'd just be like incremental, like little bits, like taking profit, you know, if it wasn't something better to like reinvest, and then just slowly started, you know, moving up to like being able to take a salary and buy a house and all the stuff you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You're on the track.
Yeah.
Has there been a moment in Nowra that has left a lasting positive impression for you?
Just the community, like the business community. It's always been so supportive. Like, that's how, you know, one of the ways we got our first few clients was just going to the business chamber events and just networking, and being so young, just like, you know, the other business leaders in the area were just so supportive and willing to give you a chance. So I'm yeah, very grateful to be given those opportunities when I was younger.
Yeah, and I've actually noticed that you are very much part of the business community, and you've even sponsored some of the awards at the Shoalhaven Business Awards. How important has that business network been for you?
Yeah, like it's been one of our key ingredients to success. And yeah, now that, you know, I'm in a comfortable situation, I've been fortunate enough to like give back to the community and, you know, sponsor events and mentor other people to help them achieve their goals as well.
No, it's really cool to see when you've met that success that you've also then been able to give back as well and become mentors for other people. What do you hope NOWRA feels like in 10 years?
I just hope it keeps progressing at the steady rate it's doing. And more people come into the CBD, especially like more variety of restaurants and things to do, like especially in the evenings, like things are closing up a bit early these days. But, you know, if there's more people here, more shops staying open later and like more restaurants, then yeah, I think it would be, you know, a destination where people would come in and spend more time.
Yeah, that's part of our job at NOWRA.org.au. It's one of our missions is to help to bolster the nighttime economy and get more people into the CBD. But it also, it works both ways. Like we need people to show up, but we also, the restaurants need to open and people need to support them. And I think that even the fact that you guys opening up in Junction Street is a good part of that. And it's one less empty shop in the main street.
100%.
And that's what it takes. And you know, you guys are employing people, they're spending money in the CBD when they have lunch and that kind of thing. And that's how these things, I guess, regenerate and regrow. So, two last questions. So who is one NOWRA person whose story you'd love to hear on this podcast?
Excellent question. I think I'd like to hear from a local politician of, you know, what makes them tick, like what do they see for the community?
Yeah.
And what, you know, vision they have of what they want to achieve while they're in parliament. Either a local member or perhaps even the mayor.
All right. Season two, Mayor Patricia White. Season two, local politicians, we're coming out for you. And lastly, any asks of the people of NOWRA?
Just keep coming into the CBD, into NOWRA. Like there's plenty of shops in here for like clothes and stuff like that. You know, come here, have a look first before you go up to Shell Harbour and Wollongong, because you might find what you're looking for without needing to drive up, especially with petrol these days. So,
yeah, true. Shop local. I think that's a really good initiative, and I think that's something that we're really going to keep pushing. Is like if you want the CBD to thrive, like spend money there, put your money where your mouth is, and go visit Webix and get a website.
Yeah.
While you're at it. All right. Thanks, Ori. It's been awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the NOWRA.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen. We are recording in Triple U Studios in NOWRA CBD. It's a community radio station. Our producer here is Paul Murphy. NOWRA.org.au is funded by the New South Wales Government Uptown Accelerator Program. If you'd like more information, visit NOWRA.org.au. Or follow us on socials, subscribe to the mailing list. See you next time.